Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Less Glove, More Fist podcast with me, Coach Bronson.
And me, Coach Nat.
And today we are going to be talking about the process of maintaining a healthy lifestyle.
What is maintenance?
What is maintenance? What does it look like when you reach your body composition goals and then have nothing left to go to shoot for?
What now?
What next? What happens?
And how do you keep it? How do you keep the results you worked so hard for?
Yeah, absolutely. And this came up, actually, it's funny because I love how this stuff in our lives, when we were both coaches, we lived together and we're always talking about our clients and all the different things that are happening. I had a client specifically this week, like 2 days ago, talking. No, wait, today's Saturday, right? We're recording this
today's
on a Saturday. Yesterday on a call with a client. And she was talking about my body composition, what my goals are going to be, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, what is your body composition? What have you gotten to? Where are you? And she's like, I've got this much lean mass. I got this much body fat. And I was like, guess what?
You're there.
You're there. You've gotten, like, you don't really have anywhere else to go with the body composition. And the look she gave me on the Zoom call was like, oh, crap. Now, what do I do?
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, I've been focused for so long on this body composition stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When I get that, now what? What happens? And then you've recently had some stuff.
Oh, I have a couple. So I had one of my clients was doing a mock prep. She had, and we put a photo shoot on her. She put a photo shoot on her calendar as a gift for her husband. And he just came back from deployment. So for her, it was a personal goal to get, she wanted to basically go through a prep like she would if she was competing, but she didn't want to get on stage.
Gotcha.
So she just had her photo shoot day. So that was like show day, right?
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
It's like, she's never been to this level of leanness that she is now. She's never had this kind of body composition. So now we're talking about what's next with her. And then my other client who was prepping for her wedding. And her wedding is next week. And then she already has a goal of taking this to the next level. That's what it is for her.
Okay.
After
taking
the wedding.
Her body composition.
Her body composition, yeah. Right. Because for her, she was in a different place. We got her to an incredible place. But now she's in a place where she could start a prep for a show. And she kind of had that in the back of her mind, was like, one day I want to compete in a show. And then she thought, well, you know, what better time than now? I'm going to be getting married, having my wedding, and I don't want to backslide. This
yes.
is a big thing for people.
Yeah.
When we talk about maintenance, I think a lot of the time the reason why we keep setting body composition goals is because we're just so afraid of going back to where we started or going back to where we were before we hit our goals. And we're just so afraid that once we hit our initial body composition goal, or maybe not even the initial one, because if you have a long way to go, let's say, to get to your
you're going to have a couple
goal,
different versions of that.
There may be some spots along the way where there's, okay, I hit my first goal, but now I have another one, and now I have another one. But I think that we can get into the habit of just continuously setting new body composition goals out of fear of backtracking back to our old life.
Sure.
So we can definitely talk about that.
I think that's one is doing it out of, like, I have to have a body composition goal because that's going to keep me moving
on
in a direction
track,
on
right?
track.
We're on track. All
but
the
then
time.
The other, I think the other thing, and you guys have all heard me talk about this, is I think a big part of it is we are so ingrained that how our body looks and what our body composition is what we need to do to be fit. And we forget that that's great. I can have, I'm currently at about 10%, 11% body fat. I've got a great amount of muscle. If I had something that was limiting me, if I didn't, I'll just, as an example right now, I have a limiting thing that I'm dealing with my wrist, right? I've been noticing over the past few weeks that because I sit at a desk for hours at a day, that I've been getting wrist pain. It's actually been going on for a while. It's been going on for months. And I thought it was because
he
of bowling.
You just told me this today,
well,
by the way.
No, because you know I've been having the elbow pain.
Yes.
Right.
Elbow,
and we thought originally it was one of two things. One, my bowling, because I bowl pretty regularly. And two, mm-hmm. it really started flaring up when I started BJJ again.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two of those things, that's kind of what we were thinking. But I came to the realization just a few days ago that it's because I'm sitting at a desk. I think I have carpal tunnel. And the reason why is because if I try to do a certain movement where I'm flexing my wrist and trying to engage the two fingers on my hand that control my mouse, my trackball, those two fingers don't, they're not as strong at holding the position as the rest of my hand and my other hand are. I have a physical limitation because of that limited range of motion that I have in that hand. So I'm strong. I got a bunch of body fat, but I have issues and pain in my wrist. I have things that I have to be careful of doing because I have a limited ability to move my wrist right now because I haven't taken care of it. So the function of our body, regardless of our body composition, will impact our quality of life. And it's something, if for me, it's something as little as my wrist and my fingers. It's not a super crazy, like, you know, I blew out my knee or blew out my shoulders or anything like that. Okay, guys, you have to understand this right now. We're talking, and she's taking this opportunity to take selfies of herself that she's going to post for content, I'm assuming.
I also took pictures of him, by the way, while he's talking. But since I can't do that with myself, I had to do a selfie. We need to film more of these.
Just film them?
Yeah, because I think it's kind of interesting just to see, like,
one of these days, I got to pull that camera out and see if I can get the spare parts together and have that. It's on my list of things to do.
Yeah. Eventually. We'll make it to where you can see our faces when we're talking on this thing. If you want to watch on YouTube.
In our makeshift studio, office/bedroom.
Studio.
So if anybody wants to, if you go search my wish list on Amazon, I have soundproofing panels that I want to put up in here to make the sound better. But so basically what we're going to talk about is what are some things that we do personally? I think that's probably the way we're going to approach this. To kind of keep ourselves moving forward, finding ways to stay motivated, and what does maintenance look like? Yeah.
Once you've gotten to the promised land, what do you do to stay there? And a big piece of that is what you were just talking about, which is about what is your purpose for living the lifestyle that you're living? And when I say living the lifestyle, I mean choosing to eat the way that you have chosen to eat. Moving your body in the way that you've chosen to move your body, exercise, activities, things of that nature. If it's all in pursuit of a goal, whether that's a body composition goal or maybe an athletic performance goal or whatever external goal, if it's in pursuit of that, if that's the only reason you're eating keto, you're eating keto so you can lose weight, you're exercising to lose weight, or whatever your physical goal is, or you're an athlete and you're only eating this way to perform well at your sport, you're only training to perform well at your sport. Well, if your sport ends, you retire, or if you're not an athlete and you're doing it for weight loss and you hit your weight loss goal, does that mean that now you're just going to abandon ship on everything that you did to get there? If it was only for that goal, then yes, you probably will. You haven't built any kind of connection to this lifestyle that you've chosen to live for any greater purpose than being a means to an end.
I'm going to interrupt you there. The person you're describing right now hasn't chosen to live a lifestyle. They've chosen to do things to reach a goal. It is not a lifestyle. If you want this to continue on past your goal, it has to become a lifestyle, because your lifestyle will determine the actions that you take regardless of the goals you have in
place. I will actually step back and say, if you want to keep the result, right? Because the goal is usually related to a result you want or an outcome you want. So if you're only doing keto, I'm going to use keto and weight loss as a perfect example, because that's what we hear most of the time. If you're only doing keto for weight loss, if you want to keep the weight loss, you have to keep doing keto.
Yep.
So it's not even a question of if you want to keep keto, because if you're only doing keto for weight loss, then you don't want to keep keto.
Which is,
you just want the results.
Right.
But guess what? It doesn't matter if you chose keto, if you're doing a low fat, high carb, if it fits your macros, if you're doing PSMF, if you're doing whatever diet choice simply for a goal, you don't get to keep the results unless you keep the things you did to get to that goal.
Results, right. Absolutely. That's, I mean, That's like saying if I paint my house green because I want a green house, I can't go back and paint it blue and be mad I don't have a green house.
Oh my God. That's right? Hilarious. I mean, that's. But it's a good example. Yeah, right? Like if you go eat donuts after you hit your goal weight and all you do is eat donuts for a month.
Right.
Then
what do you expect?
You can't be upset when you put it all back on.
Don't be upset. And it's not the diet's fault.
Any diet works, but you have to stick to it.
Yes. And that's where we come in when we talk about what is sustainable. What are some of the best things that you could do to make the lifestyle? And that's the difference. There's a difference there. When you guys have heard us talk about extremes. If you're doing everything possible to make one specific thing happen, I want to lose weight. And you're not focusing on, well, why do you have that weight on in the first place? And you're trying to solve this problem by attacking the symptom of the problem instead of the actual problem itself, then the methods are probably going to be extreme.
Yep.
And they're probably going to be unsustainable. They're not going to last forever unless you continually put a high level of effort into them. The idea is to fix the problem that's causing the symptom. If you fix the problem, generally, it's a much less intense, complicated, and overwhelming solution. And you can keep doing it for a longer period of time. And so that's where maintenance comes into play.
What is the problem? I would like for you to express the problem. Using
fat loss, we use weight loss and keto. The weight loss isn't the problem. And using keto to lose weight is great. But if you use keto in conjunction with some other things to actually improve how your body functions, right? Improve your metabolism, improve your lean mass, build a lifestyle around just being active and making good food choices, then the weight loss will come off. But you're also going to see a bunch of other things that happen in your life. You're like, oh crap, I love my life right now. And in some cases, we can say the weight may come off. In some cases, the weight may not come off as much as you want it to. You may find that you're happier 10 pounds heavier than you thought you would be.
Oh, absolutely. I see that all the time.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, I see people all the time. Exactly. Same thing. I see people all the time. They're like, I am having so much more fun. I feel better about myself. I have more confidence. I feel all of these things because they're approaching it from a different way. They're not just trying to lose weight. They're like, how can I just make my life better? The choices you make when you think about it from how can I improve my quality of life are always going to be less negatively impactful than how can I just lose weight. When you just try to lose weight, you've heard me talk about this. It's the paradigm of restriction. It's a paradigm of removal, of loss,
right, you're suffering through these things.
Right.
To get to the weight loss.
Because all you're trying to do is get rid of something. I'm trying to get rid of something that I'm looking at as a negative. Okay, great. Look at fat as a negative. That's great. How about we look at improving and living a better life? What can I do to live better? So I changed the focus from I'm trying to get rid of something, it's a negative experience, to I want to be happy. I want to live my life. I want to be free. I want to be independent.
Didn't we do an episode where we talked about exactly that? It was what you're running from, like what you want to get rid of, and then versus what you want to run to.
Yeah, focus on what you're going to. Oh my God.
The pain that you're trying to avoid,
yep, or
that you want to get rid of, and then moving toward the vision of where you want to be. I think we did, didn't we?
We talk about that. It's kind of underpinning everything we talk
sometimes
about.
Sometimes I'm not sure if it's in a podcast because I know we talked about that at the couples retreat,
yep,
in depth.
Yep.
And we walked them through an actual workshop, right, on that. But now I can't remember if we talked about it on the...
Can't hurt to talk about
y'all
it again.
Tell us if we went into that in depth. And if not, we can do it in a future episode.
Yeah, we can actually do a walkthrough.
Pain to purpose.
Yeah, pain to purpose. Okay, so how do you, Coach Nat, here's a question. When did you get to a point where you felt like you were healed enough where the effort, because we talked about this earlier today, the effort that you needed to put into your health was not as much and you were able to put some of that effort into living a fun life, living your lifestyle, and doing the things that you want to do that make you happy. Because that's the challenge. A lot of people are coming into this and they're so unhealthy, they cannot afford to do things for fun. They cannot afford to make these decisions that we can make. Like we're healthy.
Yep.
We're metabolically sound. We don't have any health issues majorly. If I decide that I want to have some ice cream someday, I can do that. I have a good relationship with food. Mm-hmm. I understand where I'm at with it. Thanksgiving, I had pumpkin pie and cheesecake. I enjoyed every single freaking bite. And I didn't feel the need the next day when we went back to my mom's house to be like, ooh, I want some more. You know, it wasn't something that
you didn't have
just bothered
the next
me.
Time, right?
You know? So being able to do that and being at that healthy place mentally and physically opens up some doors. And
absolutely,
a lot of people aren't there.
Yep.
So you are probably, in some ways, I think you're across that threshold. In other ways, you're still in the doorway.
Still battling.
How does that
work
for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my journey... Okay, so my initial healing journey was now about to be 2023. Is that crazy? So, wow. Okay, so I think it culminated maybe 2014, 2015. Yeah, and actually I hadn't even competed yet. I'd never done a show. My body composition was not the best it had gotten to. I wasn't even consistently lifting yet. But my healing happened through adopting the paleo diet. And this was before I ever went keto. So this was like 2014, 2015 was when
something besides keto helped you? Oh my gosh, there's other things out there?
Honestly, I was just thinking about this. That paleo, I actually think, is more fringe and more countercultural than keto is.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it's more about the quality of the food.
It's
more focused on real food.
Real food, yeah.
Than keto.
But even the source of the food, not just whole food. It's like, where did this come from?
Right. It starts with whole food, real food. And actually, I did my first Whole 30 in 2013. So it's been almost 10 years since then. But I started the transformation journey in 2011.
Yeah.
And that's when I had all of my chronic health conditions and the things that were keeping me from living a full life and feeling good in my life. And I was on a lot of daily medications for those, like management, maintenance medications, they call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading a post about all I want for Christmas is for doctors to stop saying that you're going to have your chronic illnesses your whole life. And like, that's where I was. I was in a place where doctors were saying, this is just going to be your life and you have to stay on these medications forever. And telling me nothing about changing lifestyle. I found out all of this on my own and went down my own path. And 2 years later, not even 2 years later. Yeah, maybe about 2 years. So from 2011, 2013, when I did my first Whole 30, that was when I did my first Whole 30, I had just come off birth control. And that was the very last pharmaceutical medication that I removed.
Okay. Yeah.
I had already removed everything else. So it was the very last thing to come out. And so that's when I would probably say it really kind of the I'm now living in optimal health started. That was just the beginning. I was dealing with a little bit of kind of IBS stuff at the time.
Right.
As my gut microbiome adjusted to the new way of eating. But it was like cleaned everything up, right? Mm-hmm. Like 100%. And it was like a 180. It was like, that was when I started feeling like, oh my God, I didn't know how good I could be.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was possible to live life like this without chronic pain, without stomach, you know, problems, mm-hmm. I was on antidepressants for GI meds.
Wow.
Like, it's insane. Like, I mean, it was messing with my brain chemistry. So there were so many, it was a host of things. Chronic sinus infections went away. And it was like, I used to get them 3 to 4 times a year.
Hmm.
So that was where it was like, oh my God, I can live this way and feel good. And I felt like I could outrun a tiger after a meal.
I love it. I love it.
What? Like I used to have to lay
down
on the couch.
That's why you're always running away
meal.
From me. That's why she's like, okay, I was just trying to wonder.
You're not a tiger. You're the king of the jungle.
I think I have to second the feeling. It's there's just a, you know, I didn't have 150, 200 pounds to lose like some people have. I lost about 70. I mean, I didn't lose a little amount. I lost about 70 pounds, which thinking that is like, holy crap.
Yeah, because you didn't, for gosh. A long time, you didn't put a number on it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about how much I actually lost. It was actually, I forget what conference we were at, and I said how much I used to weigh, and Nurse Cindy was like, so you've lost about 70 pounds. I was like, holy crap, I didn't even think about that. That's a lot. But, so yeah, I mean, I have lost some weight, but for me, I equate the issues I had with IBS and urgent bowels and that kind of stuff to that stuff going away, much like other people describe losing 150 pounds. Just the level of limitation and things that it controlled your life, what you could and couldn't mm-hmm. do, and where you could and couldn't go, and what you're thinking about all the time, and everything else. It was horrendous. And when that stuff went away, it was like a whole nother level. The same, I totally get it. It's like a whole nother level of, holy crap. This is something that has literally taken up, I don't even know how to quantify how much mental and emotional stress and brain power that it was taking up in my life every single day.
Absolutely.
That totally just vanished.
And that it impacts your relationships. I mean,
oh my God. Yes.
Oh my, the person that you are, like the
You're
person
not
that
happy,
I was.
Yeah, not a happy person.
Right. it was screwing with my brain chemistry. It wasn't firing the way it should. So it's crazy. Yeah. When I think back to the person I was, I've told Bronson many times, like, you could not have handled that woman. You would not have wanted that woman. I was operating from a different place back
well,
then.
Well, you're operating when you're in that condition, and this maybe relate to anybody, somebody listening today. When you're operating in the condition of there's always something wrong.
Illness, yeah.
There's always something wrong. There's always something I have to think about that reminds me of my condition. Reminds me of the fact that I'm living a limited life. Reminds me of the fact that I can't do some things, or I have something wrong with me, right?
You know what? This right here, as we're talking about this maintenance concept,
yeah.
This, I think, is what's so powerful about us having created a lifestyle with this.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of it, the reason that we're doing, the reason we eat the way we eat, the reason why this has become our lifestyle is because it literally changed our lives.
Yeah.
It was never about body composition, not at the beginning. Now, for you, a little bit, you were motivated by that photo.
I was. I did not want to be fat boy with man boobs. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
Yeah,
nope.
For me, it literally had nothing to
do
with that.
I do want man boobs, but I want muscle boobs. I want muscle boobs.
Kendall. Bigger than Kendall.
Yeah, right.
But no, yeah, when I think back to really the beginning of it, for mm-hmm. me, it really was all about healing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I received the healing that I started to even think bigger about mm-hmm. what my body could do.
Ah,
and
that's the key phrase. That's the key phrase. Yep.
I started aerial.
Okay.
I started doing aerial dance.
Okay.
And I built upper body strength, and I got a six-pack from just lifting my body weight all the time.
Yeah.
So this was an activity I loved that I poured myself into. I was doing 6 days a week, and I started teaching it. And then that's what led me to bodybuilding.
Right. And that's the whole idea of where I was going. And we talked about this when we talked about growth mindset versus fixed mindset. And when you're living in that chronic lifestyle of chronic pain and distress and despair
and limitation.
Injury and illness and medication and all these things, when you're living in that, then you don't feel like there's anywhere else to go.
You can't think bigger. You can't think outside.
It's really hard to get outside of a fixed mindset. So when you find a way out that has to do with more than just your weight, right? This is, we talk about connecting with the why, guys, because it's so important. When you find out that there's a quality of life aspect to what you're doing that can completely change everything about what you're doing and how you think and your outlook on the world and your perception of reality and everything, you don't want to not, you don't want to leave that. Once you get that, once you start moving in that direction, then the lifestyle, it's so much bigger than just the weight. It's so much bigger than the body fat or the muscle mass or any of the numbers.
Yep.
It's about the mindset and the realization that you can literally effing do whatever you want to do because you are now capable of doing that. You can now see. It's what the mind can see and conceive, the mind can achieve.
Absolutely.
And now you can see that. And that's where we're living right now.
Things start to become possible for you.
And I think that's the biggest difference of where we are now to where we were.
Oh my gosh,
it's,
yes.
We are both very, very much growth mindset. We don't like negativity. We don't like we're all about
the whole
all the
world
time.
Opens up to you.
The whole world opens up. And every day for us is an experiment in what else can we do? What else can we, how else can we grow? What else can we learn about ourselves, about each other, about the world, about whatever it is we're working on. And that is such a different way to live that I can't even, it's like compared what we've been doing, right? We have goals. We've been setting goals, business goals, financial goals, things like that. And we've had conversations about trying to put ourselves in the mindset of millionaires.
Yep.
How do millionaires live their lives? What do they think about X, Y, or Z? How do they approach these decisions, the same decisions we have to make not being millionaires? And it's really hard for us to visualize what life would be like where we could just wake up in the morning and say, hey, do you want to fly to Florida for a few days or a few weeks and hang out?
Yep.
And not have to worry about where the money's coming from, right? Because that's eventually where we want to be. But for us, that we're not there yet.
There's
a jump that has to be made. And for us, it's a stretch of the imagination to be able to do that.
And we have to constantly put ourselves there.
And for anybody listening who's not metabolically healthy, who hasn't reached that body composition goal or that physical capability or that removal of medications and illness from their life, if you're still struggling to get there, just let us know. Or this is for us to let you know. It is 100% possible.
Absolutely.
Just 100%. Imagine it every day. Put that in front of you every day. This is what I want. I'm doing it for this reason. I'm not just trying to lose a number on a scale.
Yeah, you've got to connect it. You've got to connect it to what else it is providing for you in your life. Oh, here's a good example. I think I have struggled with sugar addiction more than Bronson has over the years since he made his decision to go carnivore. It was it was a desperate act for you. For you, it was like, this is almost like life or death. It was like, I'm not living. I'm not able to live my life. And it was like, that's it.
There's a couple of things there. That was definitely it. There was, there's other stuff we could talk about. It was way easier than I thought it was going to be. And I enjoyed it right out the gate. It was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But
yeah,
keep going.
So, I mean, you've had your affairs with Ben and Jerry's over the years.
Ben and Jerry's. We saw some at the store today, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it.
I'm wondering, I'm going home for the holidays next week. I wonder if he's going to get Ben and Jerry's.
You know, I hadn't thought about it till just now. Thanks for planting that seed. Thanks, Nat.
I think I'd rather you wait for me and we both get to do it together.
Oh, no, that will destroy your stomach.
I don't know. I have enzymes and things now.
Yeah, okay.
Well, actually, that's a really good point because, gosh, I'm jumping around here now because I was going to talk more about the mental side of things, but there's also the physical side.
Sure.
And I think this is another thing that, okay, which one do I want to talk about first? Let's just talk about the physical real quick,
okay.
Since you brought up the stomach thing.
I like the physical.
Okay, so we both are very in tune with our bodies and how our bodies respond to things. Bronson loves pepperoni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And heavy cream.
Oh, yeah.
But that is not something he does every day.
No.
Or even every week. It is like, I'd really like some pepperoni this week.
Right.
Or would you pick me up some cheese or would you pick me up some heavy cream? When he's feeling like it. He knows that when he does that too frequently, his body doesn't love it. Doesn't love the way his body responds, the way he feels.
My bathroom doesn't love it either.
I was trying to be PC.
This is one of the reasons why we looked for an apartment that had two bathrooms.
Yes. We are not going to talk about my transition to carnivore back in January, February. The fact that I went through that and we were only together for like 2 to 3 months at that point in time, like, and we made it through that. That right there tells you that's it. This is for life.
Hey.
That was a struggle. And that's interesting. I should definitely do a YouTube about my transition.
Your transition.
To carnivore. And it's funny because looking back, it doesn't seem that bad, but I definitely remember some really painful nights. Anyways, when I started my journey, it was gut health was one of like the first things, the priorities for me to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of issues with food, and there were certain things that really messed up. I mean, it felt like food poisoning. I would be doubled over in pain kind of thing. Dairy was definitely one of them. And grains, for sure. Mm,
okay.
And so nowadays, when I'm, let's say I'm confronted with an opportunity to cheat. I hate that term, cheat, but I kind of like that term too, because...
Well, I've never understood it, because you're not cheating. It's not getting you ahead. Cheating is when you do something to pass the test.
No, you know what? I don't like that definition, though. Okay. I like
it's
the
like cheating.
Cheating, like,
on your relationship.
The relationship.
Like relationship cheating.
Yes.
Okay. I get you.
Yeah,
I get that.
You're
okay.
Being unfaithful to the lifestyle you chose.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So thinking about it in that respect, let's say, I mean, I'm confronted with opportunities to cheat all the time. I go grocery shopping. Bronson does not. I literally will go every single day. Like,
sometimes I go, we went to Lidl today.
Because I asked. He'll go if we're literally going in for like two things. We know exactly what we're going to
get.
Yes,
I am definitely a man shopper.
I am a lady shopper. I like to peruse every aisle. And I look at all the new items in the stores. Now, right now, at the holidays, oh my goodness. I've been bombarded by every holiday treat imaginable. Okay. I have a thought process when it comes to these things because Bronson knows I am a sucker for a limited edition flavor.
Oh my God. And sales.
Limited edition flavors and don't let it be on sale.
Right.
I mean.
And don't let it be a Christmas flavor. This is the worst thing right now. Mint.
Eggnog.
Mint, eggnog.
Peppermint, chocolate, peppermint or peppermint mocha, whatever it is.
Yep.
White chocolate, peppermint.
Yep.
Eggnog, gingerbread.
How many?
S'mores?
I have a question for you. When
I should have put a trigger alert. We're gonna have to put a trigger warning at the top of this one.
I have a question. When tomorrow, the mint chocolate keto brick comes out,
I have an alert set on my phone.
How many are you gonna buy?
I don't know.
Guys, she saw that and flipped yesterday. She was like, oh my God.
I don't know how many I'm going to order, but I will say this. If we get it before I go to my parents,
yep,
I will just bring one with me so that I have to
okay,
really...
Okay, we need to put them in the storage unit or something because I'm trying to cut before Costa Rica.
Oh.
And if you keep all those keto bricks here, they will be gone.
I need to bring one with me for the whole week or maybe two because it'll be 10 days.
Okay.
And then I can ration it out each day because I'm on a reverse diet. And so I can't just
go crazy
on my fast.
Right. And I'm trying to cut before the
he's cutting,
TV show.
So. Speaking of, okay. So, gosh, we've gotten all over the place. Okay.
That's what people tune in for, our random ramblings.
Well, we should talk about what we're doing
okay.
now.
What are we doing?
But before we get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. The physiological stuff, right? The things that go through
psychological stuff.
No. The physiological
stuff. Okay.
The things that go through my mind when I'm seeing all this special stuff. First of all, the other day, I wrote down all of my favorite holiday flavors.
Okay.
So that I could create my own versions of them.
Okay. You have flavorings and we have protein powder and all the different coffees.
Yes.
And stuff.
So,
yeah.
Because part of what goes through my mind is, okay, let's think about what this is going to do to my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing that keeps me from just buying all of it and just eating it anyway.
Sure.
Because what we were talking about, or part of why we wanted to do this episode was we're like, okay, we can quote, get away with a lot right now.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
We're in such great shape metabolically and physically that we could binge probably once a week and still be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we not do that?
Right.
Right? And look, I have a lot of evidence in my past that I know what's going to happen if I do that. I know that for me, the psychological piece of it, it will not be just one day.
Yep.
It will become every day for a matter of months until I've put back on not only all the body fat that I worked really hard to get off, but I'm now sick again.
Yeah.
Almost all of the chronic conditions that I healed would be back. I know this for a fact because I've done it before. Because in between shows where I was in a low place mentally, I let this stuff happen to me. And then what would happen? Chronic sinus infections come back. Like, it starts with things like that. I get ill more often. I'm more susceptible. My immune system is down. There's more inflammation in my body. It's now leading to all these other things. And as a bodybuilder and an athlete, now that I think about it like that, it's going to impact my ability to recover from my training, which even in an off season, which I'm going into now, we're going to talk about what we're getting ready to do in our maintenance lives right now. But going into an off season, meaning this is my building season. This is where I'm going to be, you know, eating a little bit more, you know, over time and lifting heavier and trying to put on more, as much muscle mass as I can mm-hmm. before I do another cut to get to stage again.
Jet.
So it is incredibly important that I recover well.
Yes.
Because muscle is broken down in the gym, but it is built in recovery. So I need to be able to recover. If I'm putting things in my body that are inflaming my body and making my body ill, essentially, that's basically what you're doing when you're putting toxic substances into your body, it's not going to be able to perform its best and it's not going to be able to recover its best. And then I'm going to be more likely to get sick more frequently. And it can lead to, there have been years in the past where my heartburn came back, my acid reflux, like all of these things that I'd healed way back will come back with a vengeance if that old lifestyle creeps in for more than just a day or two here or there.
I totally forgot about heartburn.
Oh my God. It was terrible.
I'm trying to think now, like I can't remember when the last... I mean, I've been so focused when I tell the stories about my gut and urgent bowels and all the other issues I was having, like I totally forgot about heartburn.
That was a huge.
I can't
thing
remember
that
the
I
last
with.
Time that I had. I used that to I've
pop
had heartburn.
Tums like candy.
Oh my God, Tums and Pepto.
And
oh
Pepto.
My God, all day long.
Oh my gosh.
I used to have the multicolored Tums in my bathroom God. And in my bedroom.
Oh, I had them in every purse. Like,
yeah. Oh my
yeah.
God. Yeah. Yep. Heartburn. Holy crap. I forgot about heartburn.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all, how cool is it, guys, to have a condition that is caused by being sick and not healthy that you totally forget about?
Forgot that you had before. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more. I mean, I had chronic migraines. Wow. There was a lot.
I know there was, like, acne for me was a big one.
And that's a big one
issues.
With dairy now.
Yeah.
So my gut issues are not... And not nearly like they used to be. Like, it used to be if I ate dairy, it would be a disaster. Now, it's not so much a gut issue, but my skin. If I do it more than, let's say, once, right? Like, if I do it a couple of times in a week, or if I have a lot. Like, when we went to the Modern Stone Age kitchen, and oh my God, they had all the most amazing cheeses.
Oh, that cheese was so good.
So I just let myself eat the cheeses.
Yeah.
It was just that one day.
And if it had been different cheese, it probably would have been way worse,
I'm sure. And it probably would have impacted my gut.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't an issue for my gut, but my skin started breaking out in less than a week.
Yeah.
Just a few days later, I started breaking out. So, and that's typically what I see now when I do the dairy. It's skin and it is sinuses.
Right.
I will immediately start getting that sinus pressure in my face.
Yep.
My ears, my lymph nodes swell up. It's like my body knows there's an inflammatory substance.
Yeah, yeah. Just to follow up, what you're talking about the physiological and the thinking process of what it's going to do to your body. It's not just what this is going to do to my body, but it's also what is the lifestyle I want to live. So you said something. You were saying, like, you know, why don't we binge? Why don't we do this every week? Why don't we just go out every week?
Oh, yeah. Why aren't we like fitness influencers who are like,
oh my God,
Friday,
guys,
pizza day?
in the 12 years that I've been doing this, people in the fitness industry have the worst nutrition habits.
Oh, it's terrible. They're
the drunkest people I know.
Oh,
they
yeah.
eat the worst foods, but they go in and they overwork themselves and they yep. have an unhealthy relationship with food and exercise that makes them look good.
Oh my God.
That's a whole other discussion.
We don't want to go. Wait, real quick. I have to say something that drove me crazy.
Okay.
One of the competitors who won a title
this weekend,
this past weekend,
yep.
posts on her Instagram. Like a professional professional photography of her with pizza
oh, yeah.
and ice cream and all yep. the things.
Yep.
And a lot of competitors do this.
Sure.
They get off stage and then they're posting with the donuts.
They got the donuts and the cookies waiting for them off stage.
Oh my gosh. Yep. And it's just, it breaks my heart because it's glorifying.
Yeah.
It's glorifying. If I look like this, then I can eat like that. And
correct.
Guess what? You can have both. Like, you're destroying your insides.
Yep. You're destroying. Well, and the think about this, that's just the one side of it. What did she have to do to get there?
If right.
That's how she's eating.
And right? a lot
so
of these
the
competitors
tactics that
then,
they're using to get to where they are, to get their body look. Again, guys, I said it earlier. The more you focus on just how you look, the more extreme and the more dangerous and the more you're messing up your
health. Oh, absolutely. A lot of these women don't get their menstrual cycles.
Yep.
They are really messing with their hormones. There are a lot of things that is going to impact them later in life and their overall health.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you don't see from these fitness influencers is that, especially the competitors, they get down to a particular, you know, super lean body fat. They take all these pictures and get all of this content.
Right.
And what
it's
you
good
don't
for like
know
8 months or a year's worth of content.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For years or at least months, they're posting that, but
right.
they don't look like that.
Correct.
A lot of them are having issues with food and their relationship with food, and then they go and they put on all this weight, but they're not showing you that. And you just think they're walking around like this,
yep.
eating this way, eating this crap, and you're like, why can they do it and I can't?
Yeah, because they're not. They did it once, took 400 pictures. And then if you see them do a live, they're in a baggy t-shirt and
yep.
sweats because they don't want anybody to see that they
gained
40
pounds. And
actually,
here's another piece of the puzzle, too. This goes back to something Bronson was talking about before, that he had the pie at Thanksgiving. The only other thing this man has eaten that's not carnivore, well, besides coffee, of course, but like, that's not carnivore. This entire year was at
Salt Lake.
Redmond.
Salt Lake French fries.
Salt Lake. He had French fries.
Well, you can say, what about mayonnaise? What about mayonnaise? Does that count?
Okay.
We're talking
no,
carnivore.
We're talking
keto.
Like
I mean, not like
carbs.
Crappy food. Yeah.
Okay. We'll say carbs.
Yeah.
But really, these are like the fries, you could even argue, were somewhat healthy because they were cooked in coconut oil.
Oh, my God. They were.
The
I can still
were,
taste
the,
those
the
fries.
The pies were. It was straight up cheesecake and pumpkin pie. Like
yeah.
basic. Like standard American. But literally, y'all, that is. Two times in 12 months. I just want you to understand that even when you see people like us
yep.
sharing when we might have, if you want to call it a cheat meal, but for us, we would probably just say it's a special occasion. It's a
yeah.
whatever. It's food. So even when you see that, you need to understand that these people are not doing that on a regular basis.
Right.
So those people you see that are fit and they're eating the pizza, like you're seeing the one time they're taking one bite out of that pizza. You may not even watch them actually eat that pizza in the video. They may just be doing that for social media. So what you don't understand is that that is not their lifestyle. So a lot of the time when you're still sick, you see that and you want that to be your permission to do it because, well, they
mm-hmm.
can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting to the whole point of why we wanted to do this.
Yeah, now we're finally 45 minutes in, and now we're getting into the meat of the topic.
But the crux is we have done a lot of work to get to the place where we can be healthy, and this is now sustainable. Our level of health and fitness is in a place where, sure, occasionally we could get away with that.
Yeah.
And that's, you can have that level of health. But then, okay, number one, what's going to keep you from doing it all the time? And number two, I don't know what number two is. What was I going to say?
Don't you hate when that happens? I was thinking of something that I wanted to add.
Oh, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Okay, and that's a good segue into what I was going to say. That once you get to that point of health, once you get to that point of freedom, because that's what we're talking about, guys. Yep. We're talking about
that's
freedom.
That's what maintenance is.
Okay, maintenance is you are living life on your terms. Okay, you've gotten your body composition goals. We both have our body composition goals. We both are at a point where we can physically do whatever we want to physically do. We don't have any health issues. Okay, my story started in my late 30s. It took me several years to find the combination of fitness and nutrition to get me where I am today. I've been carnivore for 5 years, almost 5 years, 4.5 years, and I've reached my goals about three and a half, four years ago. So it took me about 6 months with carnivore to get to where a point where I'm good. Like, what do I do now? So I've been maintaining for almost 5 years now, four years now. So this is a whole cool process to be in. I'm in playtime right now. But one of the things I want to think about is, once you get to this point, the things that we choose to do, notice the wording, we don't feel that we need to, we decide if we want to.
Ah, that is it right there.
That is the difference between maintenance and being in the healing process. When you're still healing and you don't have a great relationship with food, when you still feel cravings, when you still have the things that you're dealing with internally and mentally and in your subconscious and in your psychology and all of the different things, and you're still trying to get to a point where you are mentally free as well as health, as well as physically free, biologically, all of the things, you can't afford. If you do something out of a craving, out of a habit, out of a routine, out of a whatever, that's really subconscious to you because you haven't gained control of it yet. That's where things get messed up.
Yep, 100%.
You can't look at somebody like myself and Coach Nat and say, well, he had French fries and pumpkin pie, so, you know, if he can do it, I should be able to do it too. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
I'm at a point where I'm not attached to that pumpkin pie. Right? I'm not attached to the need for what that pumpkin pie is going to do for me. I just wanted some pumpkin pie.
And guess what? He didn't beat himself up over it the next
not at
day
all.
Either.
Not at all.
He wasn't like, oh my God, they're going to take my carnivore card because I ate pumpkin pie last night. Like, oh my God, how am I going to live with myself? Right? What am I going to do? What do I have to do now? Do I have to go?
Right. What do I have to do now?
Do
I broke ketosis.
Today?
What do I have to do now? Yeah. No, and you don't do anything different. That's a different weekend. That's a whole other
thing. Oh, yeah.
We'll
talk about that.
But so just understand that if here, and that's a good way to know if you're ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
If you go off track and then you feel like crap and you beat yourself up because you went off track, then you know you're not ready to be off track.
Boom.
Okay, that's a good way to know if you're at a point mentally where you can handle doing something that you know isn't technically good for you. Right? I know that technically alcohol is a poison. I am physically and mentally at a point where if I wanted to go out and someone said, hey, do you want a glass of bourbon? I could say yes, and it would not bother me one single bit. I would have a hangover from hell tomorrow, but I would know that going in.
Yeah.
Do right. I want to enjoy this or not? Do I want to or not? Because I put the investment in, I put the time in, I put the effort in, I put the work in to get to this point over 7-8 years of time to get here. Mm-hmm. So I'm at that. It's the money thing. It's the whole money thing.
Yeah, we've used that analogy before of like, it's like budgeting,
yep.
Right? It's like if
absolutely.
You're either investing, you're either putting money into savings or you're taking it out.
Yeah, and many people are in debt right now, so they
right?
can't afford to be paying
can't
any,
afford to and, be yeah. playing around with the pumpkin pie.
Right.
But also, I love the track analogy because we constantly hear this. Oh, I'm off track. I need to get back on track. I'm getting back on track. I love that what you just said. I don't know if you even noticed you said this. If you're wondering about, if you're spending all this mental energy on beating yourself up because you went off track, you're not ready to be off track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all caught that. He said, you're not ready to be off track. So for many of you, what you're probably thinking of when you hear the term off track, it means not eating keto or not eating according to the diet that you need to be eating to get your weight loss or whatever it is. You only need the track when you have a destination you're trying to get to, the goal, right? Like, you need that track right now. You can't be trusted to be off the track on your own.
That's some deep shit right there.
Walking on your own 2 feet.
Off-road doesn't have any maps.
Like, that's just you walking.
Yep.
Making your decisions day in, day out. That's what it is. So really being off track is the goal. Like, wow. The goal is to be able to be off the track, to not need the track.
Oh, dang. All right, we're done with this episode.
I'm imagining the image that's going through my mind right now is like the horses in the merry-go-round.
Hopping off and just going.
That are like now free to run. To go,
yeah. I'm thinking of, literally, I'm thinking of cars on the road. Who, you know, because I use this analogy, the idea of restriction. God, this, I love you. The whole idea, we talk about restriction, and you can go anywhere in the country you want to go if you follow the rules of the road and you stay on the road.
Yeah.
When you are ready and able to, and you reach that goal of health and physical freedom and a good mental place around and relationship with food, then you get a. It's like getting a license that says you can now go off-road.
Oh, and that's so much fun.
And go wherever the hell you want to go and explore everything.
I'm imagining, right? Like the what are those things
called? Little doom buggies or four-wheelers. Yeah, you get like your own little four-wheeler and go wherever you want to go.
Dude, that is awesome.
That's what it is.
Freedom.
It's playtime.
Freedom is. And, okay, I'll wrap it up by saying that where I am, we were going to talk about what we're doing now, but we can do that in another episode.
Yep.
But where I'm at right now is, I actually, after over 7 years of bodybuilding, I now feel that.
Okay.
It's taken me this long because after my initial healing period, when I did get into bodybuilding, that's when all the mental stuff started going crazy.
That's the show. This show did that for you.
This prep.
You came out of this prep in this show, and you came out of last weekend, and you're like, okay, I've arrived.
Let's freaking
do this. Let's freaking do this.
Yeah. So I will say, honestly, when you asked that question at the beginning of the episode, like, when did you feel like you finally got that place? It's like, I know when I got the initial healing.
Right.
But then I backtracked. Because I focused on the physique. I was so focused on the body composition goals. Once I got focused on the body composition goals, it took me away from my why.
Right.
Instead of making that, because I didn't, this is why we tell y'all, you have to make the connection on a regular basis to your why. When the goal for me and the why just became getting to the body, that's when, off season meant off-roading, and I needed the track. But this is the first time where not only, it was a little bit when I got my pro card, I felt that way. And stupid 2020.
stupid 2020.
Bitch slapped me in the face.
You and but everybody else.
When I first got the pro card, I felt it. It was like, I'm a pro athlete. This is where I stay. This is where I live. Like, this is maintenance. And then I 2020. Well, 2021 was healing all over again, the mental and emotional healing that was needed to where I could go into this prep in a new place mentally and emotionally. And I had the support of the two men in my life.
Why you gotta keep bringing him up?
My Bronson and my coach. And coming out of this prep, I'm now like, this is my new normal, y'all. Like, there will no longer be a putting 20 pounds off in the off season because there is no off season. This is now building
season.
Guys,
if I could tell you, she's gotten leaner since the show.
He's staring at me and it's hard for me to even, like, focus.
She's gotten leaner. She's doing her arm movements and stuff while she's talking and her veins are popping and her shoulders look good.
You know Italians can't talk without moving our hands.
Yeah, I think I might be half Italian because I do that a lot.
You do that a lot. All right. But all I want to say basically is that once you, like he said, once you get here, the sky is the limit.
Mm,
so what we it's do amazing. Now from this maintenance place is we get to set new goals based on whatever play around. We want.
See what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
BJJ for you. Like, I want to get back into dance. There's, you know, I want to start doing that. You can just imagine anything you want to start doing.
I'm in the Senior Olympics, dang it.
And I'm thinking about all these muscles I'm going to grow and going to the next level in bodybuilding.
She's jacked. She's already jacked. She's going to be jacked.
I have a goal to crush watermelons next summer.
You could do that now.
You think?
Yes.
Well, we need to test it
out.
Trust
me. Yes.
On that note.
Take it easy, guys. As always, if you have any questions, if you have any recommendations or ideas, things you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know. We love talking about this stuff, and hopefully it's helping you guys find answers to your questions or make you start asking some new questions.
Pondering, curious.
Right?
Opening your mind up.
Yeah. All right. So as always, don't forget to
eat, lift, sleep, repeat.
Take it easy.